A warm welcome to everyone here this morning. What a blessed day it is for all of us as we can gather together for the first time in many, many months as a church family. It's good to see so many faces again. When you stand up here, it's amazing to see everyone here. We're so blessed, and we pray that you'll be blessed under God's word this morning as well. Also pray for those who are listening on sermon audio still, and we pray that they will be blessed as well. And we welcome Pastor Prose, who will be with us this morning and this afternoon as he brings God's words with us. We pray that the Lord be with you as well, Pastor. I'd just like to read a few verses from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. O praise him from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with instruments of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Shall we stand or remain sitting for the hymn? You probably remember the letter you received, so we'll try to remember when to stand. So please remain seated for the hymn, and will you sing with me Psalter 320?
Thank you. help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we sing from Psalter 71, the stanzas 1 and 5? Congregation, let us first submit to the admonition and the promise of God's holy law. In response to that, we will sing Psalter 60, the first stanza, "To Thee I Lift My Soul." 60 verse 1, after listening to the law of God, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Christ Jesus gave also this summary of the law in Matthew 22 when asked, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Congregation, the scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. We read the verses 1 through 16. And the text for the sermon is formed by the verses 11 through 16. So we read John 10, starting at verse 1 until the end of verse 16, and the text is 11 through 16, the text for the sermon. And there we read God's holy word. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So far. Shall we unite to five? And the collections, as you may know, will be taken at the door. Beloved congregation, we find so often in the Word of God references to the Lord Jesus. There are publications that have rendered the many names given in Scripture to the Lord Jesus. It's most comforting to read and to reflect upon those names. He is called the Shiloh, the one who gives rest. He is called Emmanuel, the personification of God with us. He is called the Rose of Sharon because of his beauty. He is called the Vine because we are connected to him if things are well in our life, and our fruit can only be found from him. And so the Lord Jesus gives here in John 10 again various names to himself. He calls himself the Door, and he calls himself the Good Shepherd. He speaks about how the shepherd goes in through the door, and when you read this, you can be maybe somewhat confused. Is the Lord Jesus speaking several things at the same time, that he is the door, and the shepherd goes through the door and leads out his sheep, and he's the good shepherd? Is he the door or is he the shepherd? How should we see this picture? Well, these are two references to the Lord Jesus. We should not confuse them. The Lord Jesus is always very clear. The Lord Jesus refers to him as himself as the door. No man can come to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. We on our own have no right to have an access to God because we have sinned against God. We need a mediator. We need someone who would stand in between God and us, because by nature God is very angry with a sinner. And sinners can fall into the hands of an angry God who pours out his wrath upon sinners. He is too holy to behold sin. And at the same time, God is full of love. God is love. And out of love, love to poor lost sinners, he gave his Son. The Lord has love to his own righteousness, love to his own holiness. He must have that, otherwise he is no longer God. And at the same time, he must have love. He has love. He does not need to have such love to sinners. But he has love for poor sinners. And that love was so great that he gave his Son to be the mediator between sinners and himself. And we can only have an access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says that he prays for all those who come unto God through him. That's a rich, encouraging text, that we may come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that coming to God means coming in repentance, coming in confession of our sins, confessing our unworthiness, confessing that we have forfeited every right, and pleading for his mercy, grace to deliver us from sin and iniquity, to deliver us from our guilt, to usher us into a new life with him here on earth. That's that coming to God through Christ Jesus, that we would know everlasting life in us. Well, in all this respect, the Lord Jesus is the door. And then the Lord Jesus used another illustration here. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd proves that he is a good shepherd, because he gives his life for the sheep. Sometimes a child of God can be assaulted and can be shaken to and fro. And thoughts can arise in their heart, is God love? Where is God now? But never forget this, what the Apostle Paul says, he gave himself for me. God gave his Son to save a lost sinner. And therein the Lord proves his love. God is love in giving his Son. And so we see this love reflected in the gift of the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And we reflect on this. The good shepherd and we see his person and his sacrifice and his care. So in the portion of Scripture we just read, the Lord Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd, and emphasis is on the word good, because there were many other shepherds, people who claimed they were shepherds. The kings of Israel were called to be shepherds over the people. But many kings were not good kings. They fed themselves off the sheep, and they clothed themselves with the wool of the sheep, but they had no care for the sheep. They oppressed the sheep. They were bad shepherds. And therefore there were many prophets who were false prophets. They spoke in the name of the Lord, but they spoke evil matters. They didn't care about the sheep. In the days of the Lord Jesus were the scribes and Pharisees, and they were people held in high esteem by the Jews. But they were not good shepherds. They didn't care about a woman caught in adultery. They used her. And they would have stoned her if they could have. They didn't care about a young man who was born blind and was healed by the Lord Jesus. And when that man confessed, the young man confesses the Lord Jesus, they throw him out of the temple. They didn't care about the sheep. They were all shepherds, but they were not true shepherds. They were not good shepherds. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And so the Lord Jesus also refers in this expression to the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus says, I am, that's a reference to God. The Jews understood that. John, you know that, explicitly says that repeatedly. And when the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, that reflects back to the prophecies of the Old Testament, where God promised that he would be a shepherd for his people. For instance, Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Because the Lord Jesus, being the Good Shepherd, is the fulfillment of prophecies of the Old Testament that the Lord will be a shepherd to his people. Also, we find further in the New Testament references to Christ as the Good Shepherd, Hebrews 13. The Lord Jesus is referred to as the great shepherd of the sheep. And Peter refers to him as the shepherd of our souls. 1 Peter 2 verse 25. And here in John 10, we read at the end of verse 10, the Lord Jesus says that he has come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. There's none to be compared to him. None so kind, none so loving, none so fulfilling. A life with the Lord Jesus Christ is a most fulfilled life. A life with the Lord Jesus Christ fills the soul to the brim. He is the very best, and he gives the very best. And he is with his people, always. And so when we speak about the person of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd, his care is at times also reflected in the lives and actions of people. So we can have the office bearers, ministers, elders, deacons. They are also called to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be men who have a shepherd's heart for the flock. Now they are weak in themselves, they are limited, but the Lord Jesus, he is perfect. And he knows exactly the condition of every human being. He picks up that which is broken. He finds those who were lost. I know among you there were those who were lost, who did not care about the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus crossed their path. I know that from witnesses in the past. You have told me how he found you as a lost sheep. That's how good he is, the good shepherd. And over against the good shepherd, there are also hirelings, false shepherds. The Lord Jesus speaks about that in verse 12. He sees the wolf coming and he flees, and the wolf scatters the sheep. That's how the Pharisees were. But that's not how the Lord Jesus is. He is the good shepherd, verse 14. And I know my sheep and am known of mine. And so the Lord Jesus is willing to be a shepherd of people, also of children, boys and girls. These words are also applicable to you. You also need a shepherd. And the Lord Jesus is willing to be your shepherd, your guide through life. And this world, there are more and more people who care less and less for God's word and for God's honor. And it's sad to say, but people are becoming more and more wicked and evil. And you will grow up in a world in which people do not care about God. And therefore you need a shepherd to guide you. There are many temptations. There are many pitfalls. Young people, you need to be cared and spared. And that's only possible when the Lord Jesus is your personal shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? He leads the sheep. He calls them. What do the sheep do? They hear and they listen to the shepherd. Do you listen to him? Do you take time to be alone with the Lord and his word? Are you eagerly listening to his voice? How do you do that? You don't hear him with his voice. No, that's a good thing. If you would hear him speaking, you will be filled with terror. But he speaks through his word. And that word, you're never finished in studying it. He speaks to you through it, as long as you listen. Because the sheep, they listen. Do you listen? Or do you neglect the word of God? You're far too busy. The cell phone takes so much time, and the social media, and your hobbies, and what all you like to do. But the first thing in our lives must be to listen to the Good Shepherd. If you don't do that, start with it tonight. And you know who will benefit from it? Not the Good Shepherd, but you. You will benefit from it. And you will damage your soul if you neglect it. We need to listen to the Shepherd. And then you can pour out your heart to this shepherd. All the things that bother you, the things that you don't understand, the things that you hear people speaking about, of joy in the Lord, and you wonder, what is that actually? Joy in the Lord. That's not the same as singing a nice psalter. That's a bit affectionate, that we like to sing. No, joy in the Lord is far deeper. That you become so small, and the Lord becomes so infinitely great. And then love is poured out in your heart. And you know, this is the very best. You know that. You experience that. You experience communion with Christ. And that's essential. And that's what you learn when you are a sheep of this shepherd. Are you a sheep of this blessed shepherd? You need him. I need him. Because he only can lead us to that glorious place of heaven. And this life is quickly spent, and we are all on our way to our everlasting place where we belong. And that will be either with the Lord or outside of the Lord. That will be in heaven or it will be in outer darkness. And therefore, we need to listen and to know this shepherd personally. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. They know me too. Do you know him? Does he know you? Well, let's look now at his sacrifice. Because you know very well that the Lord Jesus gave his life on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. But that miracle is so astounding, we will never fathom the depth of this great mystery of love. And we will never fathom the depth of his sufferings, what he endured. His people will never know what the Lord Jesus did for them. For the Lord Jesus will not permit one of his sheep to enter those depths of suffering that he went through. He shields them from it because he loves them, because he cares for them. And so the Lord Jesus left that glorious place of heaven where he could receive the continual praises and hallelujahs of the angels. And he came to this world where he had to endure the curses and the mockings of his own creatures, his own people. And he came down to do what was necessary to save lost sinners, and what was necessary is that he brings a sacrifice. That he lays down his life as a payment for sin. And that people would be saved by his payment. And why did the Lord Jesus then actually have to live a whole life here on earth? Why could the Lord Jesus not have come as a full-grown man, lived here for a few weeks, died on the cross, would have gone into hell, would have died, risen from the grave, and gone to heaven? Would that not have been enough? No, it would not have been enough. Well, then he had paid the price. Sure, he paid the price. It would still not be enough. Because the Lord Jesus not only had to pay the penalty of sin, but he also had to accomplish full righteousness, a full obedience to God's law. In catechism, you hear that. The active obedience of Christ and the passive obedience of Christ. The passive obedience of Christ is that the Lord Jesus underwent the torments of God on the cross. And the active obedience of Christ is that he his whole life long lived perfectly in agreement to the will of God. He never sinned once. He fulfilled everything of the law. And why did he have to do that? In your and my place. Because it's not enough for the Lord God that he would receive a payment for sin. The Lord also wants us to be obedient to everything he has stipulated. And we don't do that. And that's why the Lord Jesus had to actually copy our lives and at the end of his life pay for the price of sin. He had to be fully obedient and he had to pay for our disobedience. And all those blessings, they are given to a sinner. That's the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. And that's given by faith. And faith is not working, not fulfilling certain conditions, not making yourself suitable to receive it. No, it means dropping into the arms of God with a life full of sin, looking unto Jesus, and that you are no longer your own, but that you belong to him. And that he takes control of your life. That's faith. And it's not only in the New Testament. That's the Old Testament too. Abraham was saved by faith. Habakkuk speaks about the just who shall live by faith. And the Psalms, they speak of faith, trusting in the Lord. The whole of God's Word speaks about justification by faith. And that's why the Lord Jesus has to be the good shepherd to make this all possible and to perform that glorious work. The Lord Jesus entered the sorrows of death and he paid fully. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And now dead sinners who are stuck in the mire of sin are raised and saved by him. That's how good this good shepherd is. Do you see now that good has the emphasis? None to be compared to him. He is a very special shepherd. Look, normally that would never happen. A shepherd in Israel would defend his sheep. He would chase away a wolf or chase away a lion or a bear like David had done, but he would not allow himself to be killed by that bear or whatever it was. Because if he will be killed, then the sheep will be scattered and everything will be lost. So even an earthly shepherd, even an earthly faithful, dedicated shepherd would know his limits. But the Lord Jesus gave everything. He bore it on the cross. He was crucified. He was beaten with the punishments of his people. The sins that you and I have committed were upon him. How faithful he was to the very end. He loved his own to the very end. He is the good shepherd. He is the only one. Jacob was a faithful shepherd who bore the heat of the day and the cold of night. But he was not to be compared to the Lord Jesus. David was a faithful shepherd who delivered his people from Goliath. And he fought the wars of the Lord and executed judgments upon the enemies of Israel. But he is not to be compared to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus did everything. A very special shepherd. He gave himself for the flock, and he did it of his own volition. That means he was not forced to do it. He did it because he loved his bride, his ugly, deformed, defiled bride. Nothing attractive in her. And he loved her with an everlasting love. And out of love he gave himself for her. Also as Christ loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. And so this shepherd proves his love. He is enough for you in all your circumstances. Alas, sad to say, by nature, we ignore him. You can be in church for 40 years and that you're basically ignoring this good shepherd. You can sing his praise and you can know the facts of his life here on earth, and you can agree with the Bible from cover to cover, and you can call yourself a good Christian, but that you are ignoring the Lord Jesus because you're living your own life and you're not giving yourself up to him. You have a wee little spot in your life for the Lord Jesus, and the rest of your life is just for yourself. And you live for yourself. You want to enjoy as much as you can of this life. And you're not focused upon the Lord Jesus because you don't see your need of Christ. You don't see that you're bankrupt. You don't see that you are lost. The world can delude us. The world can keep us very busy. that we can ignore Christ as Good Shepherd. Our eyes are by nature blind. They need to be opened to see this Good Shepherd. And then you melt down in adoration. And you say, He must be my all in all. And we see that more when you consider His care. Because the Lord Jesus has so much care for His sheep. He knows each and every one of His sheep. He knows them in their individual circumstances. And there are here people who can testify to that. How the Lord delivered them out of a certain need. How often have you had it that you prayed for health, that you prayed for deliverance, that you prayed for all kinds of things you needed, and the Lord graciously gave it to you? And what then? Did we then not give it a second thought? Did we then just move on in life? Or did we stop and give thanks to the Lord like that one leper who came back, who was a Samaritan? Or are we like the nine who were very glad and happy they went back home, but they did not bow their knee for the Lord Jesus? How often have you prayed and the Lord heard your prayers every day again? He is caring. He has a special care for His own sheep, those who have learned to bend their knee for Him. And when they make their needs known to Him, He focuses His attention upon them. He delivers them. He leads them. He assists them. He strengthens them. He comforts them. He is with them. And they can feel it at times, that the Lord is with me, I shall not fear, because He cares. And He does it with so much patience, because His sheep often stumble and they fall into sin. And they are ashamed of that. They come back to the Lord and they confess their sins. But the Lord picks them up. When they have lost their way, He brings them back. They can do nothing without Him. And the more you know the Lord Jesus, the more you realize you can do nothing without Him. You are more and more uncovered to your own weakness and inability. And you need Him to take care of you. That's how the Lord Jesus is. That's why He is so beautiful. We find already in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 40, it was predicted of the Lord Jesus, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, carry them in His bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. And there are other passages, Ezekiel 34, I will seek which was lost and bring there back again that was driven away. And there are more prophecies. The Lord Jesus knows His sheep. And that word knowing is a very tender word. It's like knowing of a mother who knows her child. Or a father who knows his son. Well, the Lord has a very personal knowledge for His people. There's also nothing too small for the Lord. You may bring all your needs before the Lord, also daily needs, daily struggles. You may bring them all before the Lord because He knows all their needs. And you may lay it all before Him. And you know that becomes experience of life, that it's experience in one's life. That the Lord indeed knows me. He is my tender shepherd. He knows me. He takes care of me. And that breeds love to Him. Because He is so good to me. He is so very good to me. That's why I must love Him. He's a God of love. And He loves His own with a free, sovereign love. He knew them when they were perishing in great need. And He saved them. He set them free from slavery to sin. He delivered them from the defilement of sin. He is so good. And not only his own people, but also other people who will also belong to his own people. The Lord has his people everywhere throughout this world. Everywhere there are those who belong to his flock. In Rotterdam, there's an elder of the Freeform Church there in Holland. He's a Kurd, Muslim, ex-Muslim. Came to Holland as a refugee, was converted there. Received a very powerful calling to proclaim God's word to Kurdistan, that area in North Iraq and the eastern part of Turkey and in Iran. And there he goes there. He was just there. He's going there again to proclaim the gospel. He has a little church in Rotterdam. He preaches there. And he has, with Easter, he had 50,000 people listening to him from Iraq. 50,000 people listening online from Iraq to his message. That's one little example. God is at work. He has his sheep everywhere throughout this world. And you know what? The most important thing is in this life is his church. That his church would grow and be expanded. That many more would find out how good the Lord Jesus is. And that should motivate us to pray continually for his church, for his honor in our own lives and outside, because he has his sheep. You are not yet of this fold, the Lord Jesus says in verse 16. And then also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, they shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that's how the Lord works, graciously and powerfully. And what is needed again as a conclusion, that we must know him as our personal good shepherd. And what's needed? Spoke about faith. Conviction of sin, is that needed? Yes, that's needed. Otherwise, there's no room for Christ in our life. And how much conviction of sin is needed? The Puritan said, enough to bring you to Christ. Some people are waiting for deeper convictions of sin, so they stay away from Christ. Others think that they know Christ, and therefore they basically stay away from Christ. They presume all is well with them. But you know what's so beautiful? The Lord Jesus is the best teacher. He knows what you need to know. He knows what you need to learn. He knows what you need to unlearn. And it is such a deliverance, liberty, if you learn to drop at his feet and say, Lord, take me as I am and make me as thou dost want me to be. He knows exactly how to take care of you, how to teach you, how to protect you, how to fill your life, because he is the good shepherd. If you love life, flee to him and listen to his voice. Amen. Shall we sing, congregation, of Psalter 65? We'll sing the stanzas 1 and 4. Shall we pray? O ever-blessed Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word truly sheds light upon our path. And this morning, Lord, on this first service that we could again be gathered together as a full congregation, we try to reflect upon who Thou art, Lord Jesus. As the Good Shepherd gathering Thy flock, Thou hast gathered us this morning. But Lord, we need to be personally gathered in by Thee. Thou knowest the state of each and every one of us. We pray Thee, if Thou wilt work mightily and powerfully, to lead those who are yet strangers to Thee into Thy fold. And Thou art fully able to lead further those who belong to Thee in the paths of righteousness. O Lord Jesus, bless this congregation of Chilliwack, and wilt Thou undertake for them in mercy. Forgive our sins and shortcomings, and wilt Thou be with us the remainder of this day. Bless the conversations in the fellowship hall and also our gathering this afternoon again. We ask it in Thy name, to Thy honor. Amen.